Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. Good to have your company once again. I am joined, as always, by Tim Schwartz from LifeAfterBlindness.com. Hello to you, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. Absolutely boiling, to be quite frank.
I know
you
are.
I'm actually normally I would use the big microphone that I use in the studio. Today I'm using my headset. It means I can leave the fans running. You see, it's a method in madness here. So yeah, that's what's going on.
I understand.
Robin Christofferson is from AbilityNet, and he joins us as well as always. Hello to you, Robin.
Hello. It is hot. I'm hot. Hot and bothered.
Oh, hot
I'll
and
try not
bothered.
To show it.
Right. Okay. I want to dig into
I've
that one a bit.
I've got the fan
later.
On as well. So, okay. Yeah.
And Emails Andy, are you sweltering as well somewhere in Glasgow?
I am. It's not as hot up here, Stephen. Unfortunately, I would say Robin and Tim have got it worse. Their heat wave is worse. We're getting ours later in the week, apparently.
Oh, goody.
All it's right. going to get hotter. Yeah.
I can't do any more. I mean, I have got two fans. I've bought two fans today. I jumped onto a certain shop beginning with A. Not the one you'd think, though. It's the other one. Shorter name. And yeah, I jumped on there today, bought a couple of fans. I think I bought the last two because I decided later to go back online and order one for my mum. But, you know, they were out of stock at that point. Sorry, mum. No fan for you, but I got two. I know I could give one of them to her, but that's just ridiculous.
She's no fan of yours, then.
She is no fan of mine at the moment. You're not kidding. Oh. So I've got two running here at the moment. I've got one. I've kind of set up like a vortex. I think I might be about to create my own weather system in this room.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've got both fans running at full pelt, and one's like some kind of triangular setup going on here. So I'm either going to create a tornado or bring someone back from the dead. I don't know which one it is. I'll let you know as the day goes on.
With all the shipping boxes you have from the other store that starts with A, I'm afraid you're going to start a brush fire. That's what I'm worried about.
You see, well, I actually got rid of all those the other day. So a friend of ours came over, and she says to me, "Hey, do you know what?" She said, "You got all these boxes. You can't have these in the house. It's not good for them to be in the house. And, you know, you are, like you say, you know, you're about to start a fire." And she said, "So I'll just take them all away." She took them all away. I was amazed. What a lovely person. How do I know people like that? Shall we talk about what's on the show this week? There's lots to talk about, guys.
Let's.
Coming up this week, we're going to talk about Windows 365 and what it is. You might have heard some people, some places, some articles, might have read some articles about it. What is it? What does it mean? And when's it coming out? Well, we'll answer those questions today. Also, we're going to find out what support is available in Suffolk. Suffolk Sight is our local charity. We're going to be hearing from Mel Maidment from the charity, who's joining us today to talk about that. Mel is a regular contributor on our emails inbox. That name probably rings a bell to you, Andy.
Yes.
I think we've been calling Mel a she for the past few months. It is, in fact, a he. So I was glad to be confirmed. I was glad to confirm that with him. He was also glad to confirm that with us.
We have previous in that department of mixing up names and, apologies.
No. I said to him, you know, if he wants to change, you know, that's fine. We're cool with it. We're easy with anything over here at Tech Talk, you know, so we're welcome. We're very liberal, you know, very liberal-minded. Also, Yvonne Brooks is here from Technology for Life. She is here to tell us all about the Google Lookout app. And we also have a very special report coming up on UV lighting and how it can actually help keep our offices safe as we return to the office from COVID. All that coming up on the show today. Lots to talk about. But yeah, let's talk about Windows 365 because it was launched. Well, I say launched. The announcement came out about Windows 365. It's not actually due to launch until August, and it will only be for businesses to start with. Which is, something quite interesting. And they do say this is something that will roll out eventually for consumers. But just to put people in the picture here, this is really a service that is all about Windows being available in the cloud. So you still essentially have a computer, but it's kind of like you're renting a computer. That's the way I would imagine this to be. So you're kind of renting a computer in the cloud, a very powerful computer, don't get me wrong, and you run your Windows via the browser. And that means you can run Windows on any machine you have a browser on. So you could run it on a TV. You could run it on a MacBook. You could run it on an iPad, on an iPhone. Essentially, any computer that you want to, or any device you want to connect to your Windows computer, you would be able to via this particular Windows 365 service. Now, like I say, it's coming up for businesses to start with. And I think the key here is that this is really about being able to deliver Windows to staff where they are in a new world post-COVID, where a lot of offices are making the decision. I know a lot of people are going back to the office, but a lot of people are not going back to the office. A lot of businesses have decided it's actually a better idea not to go back. And for that reason, they're looking to obviously have to deploy equipment and all the rest of it. Well, instead of having to, you know, deploy 1,000 laptops out from a business, doesn't it make a lot more sense just to say, here's your access code, or, you know, here's your login details, or here's the login details you've always used. Just sign in online on the device you already have. So that is essentially what Windows 365 is. What it will look like for consumers, we'll find out over time. But Robin, initial thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is brilliant. This is really, really good. As well as, you know, just giving you a much more powerful computer, potentially, you also don't have to worry about all of the management around making it secure, you know, updating drivers and all that sort of thing. It's a managed service or a managed solution. So it's going to be incredibly attractive, particularly for education, which they haven't out and out said is a goal of theirs, but it absolutely is. If you can access full Windows through a Chromebook, for example, or a tablet, you know, an Android tablet. So yeah, really, really good. Huge question mark over latency, because basically you're sending keystrokes for us, you know, mouse arrows for everyone else as well. And you don't want to see any lag in those characters coming up on the screen or the mouse movement compared to when, you know, you change direction with the mouse at your end. So I think they've cracked that. They've certainly done a great job with streaming games. And so, you know, they've been working hard on that. But also for us, it's a round trip if you're using a screen reader. So you have to press a key, it gets sent back up to the cloud. And then the screen reader, which would be installed on that virtual machine, on a real machine, but up in a data center somewhere, will then send back the JAWS announcement of that keystroke, for example, or if you're arrowing around through a document. So that for me would be the acid test. I absolutely want to give this a run for its money and see how responsive that will be.
And of course, that's all based on whether or not this can actually run third-party applications. We know about, for example, Windows ARM or Windows on ARM, the alternative processor to Intel, and the Windows version that came out, which came out in the form of the Surface Pro X. That did not allow third-party applications. So if you wanted to run NVDA or you wanted to run JAWS as a screen reader, you wouldn't be able to. You had to use the stock Narrator. So, you know, some serious questions around that, although we don't know the details of this yet. Tim, I mean, accessibility is going to be the first question on our minds, isn't it?
Absolutely. And like Robin was alluding to there, I think we're all going to do our very best to break it, test it, and break it again, see what we can do with it, test the speed, but test the latency, and definitely test the accessibility. Because if from any computer I can, you know, get into a browser, access this virtual machine, basically, as it were, and access files almost like a Dropbox, but through a Windows environment type of thing, and access all of this with a screen reader, and there's little to no latency, although I have to believe there'll be some. This is going to be fantastic. I think this is definitely, you know, Xbox Live to the very, very biggest next level, as Robin was alluding to, that, you know, they've done a really good job streaming video games the last few years with Xbox Live. So this is only a natural extension of that, going to that next level with being able to stream information in a browser. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that it's strong and robust and works well. And even if I only can use Narrator in the beginning because of a third-party app limitation or something like that, as we've discussed, as people have heard us talk about many times here lately, Narrator's okay. So I wouldn't be too mad at it. Would I like to eventually use, you know, something else like JAWS? Sure. But if I have to use Narrator when I'm using this in the few times that I might, or no, I say few, I might use it a lot saying that, that'd be okay.
They have said that any application that can run in Windows 10 will run on these because they are in effect just a machine running Windows 10 somewhere else, you know, and you're accessing it virtually. But have they, you know, considered or included specialist software in that? One would hope so. When they say that, it would be awful if they say every single application, oh, but we didn't mean those for people with disabilities. And, you know, like you guys were saying, these are special. You know, what about authorization, ILM and all that sort of thing with JAWS? That is a big hurdle to jump through, and there are lots of wrinkles with that. And that's hardware specific, so that's tied to that hardware. So are you buying two JAWS licenses, one for your local machine to open up your browser, or could you use Narrator for locally if you're going to do everything in that browser? I anticipate that a lot of people still use PCs, but if they need to do something really, you know, heavy lifting, Premiere, is that a Windows thing? Or
Yeah.
So the usage thing could be per app as well. So, you know, you might just want to pay for so much access to this cloud PC or Windows 365.
I mean, lots of people on Twitter have been talking about this with me, and I saw one comment from Peter who got in touch and said to me, you know, the interesting thing here, Stephen, is that, you know, the amount of computers that are going to not be sold as a result of this, you know, what's going to happen to the PC market? That's an interesting sideline to this, because you won't need to have a powerful machine. You can just have essentially a dumb terminal. That's all you need, you know, because you're just connecting. I mean, a Chromebook would be great. I mean, if you love Mac, and I do like my MacBook Air, I maybe stop short at love, but I like it. I kind of think, what a great machine to use for that, because then I've got all the joy of the apps that I love on the Mac side, but I also have the ability to dive into Windows when I want as well. It's going to be really interesting to see how this develops over time. In terms of pricing, there was a couple of leaks going around. I think one of the leaks said it was, it said it was like $32 a month.
Yeah, we found this, didn't we? And yeah. I think it was $32. This is in a business sense. And it's no surprise that they're doing business first, because that's going to be, I think, going to be most of their attention is going to be focused, and most of their business use is going to be focused on. So $32 a month, yeah.
Saying that there were different tiers, and the highest, heftiest one, 32 cores, I can't remember how much RAM, the real high end was $149 a month per seat, so per user. So yeah, this is definitely B2B, business only at the moment.
But I can see a lot of sysadmins in businesses taking this on, because it's going to reduce things like cyber attacks and any kind of viruses or anything along those lines. So they'll encourage it, because they can all manage it from one location rather than remote staff all having to worry about, you know, virus protection on their own PCs. It's just one source that you need to protect.
I think it ultimately comes to the cost, I think, because what then happens is you end up in a situation where you don't have to, like I was saying at the top, you know, you don't have to go and buy 1,000 new laptops. You can just say to people, look, whatever device you've got at home, just use that. And just, you know, you're essentially connecting to your work via a browser. Which a lot of people are used to doing similar things with certain applications. I mean, if you use Office, for example, you might just use Office in the cloud as opposed to connecting to a machine that has got it on it. It's a bit different for us screen reader users, because there are a lot of issues. I mean, Office in the cloud does work. It's just I'd say it's one of those things that's, it's accessible, yes, usable. Yeah, you know, depends on your patience level, I think. I've not got the patience
I find it
to do it.
Really unusable. And I think I've mentioned this tip before. If anyone sends you a link to a document that's in office.com, open it up, your browser will open, you'll be in the document, you'll find it really, really challenging to operate the, you know, ribbon, the virtual ribbon in HTML and stuff. Just close that browser, open up Word or whatever the document format was, and it'll be there in your recent items, and then you just hit enter on that and it'll open up in Word. So that's how I have to deal with those.
I want to quickly mention this as well. This is not relevant to Windows 365, but it does relate to Microsoft. They recently brought out, you might remember me talking about the modern brand name of their new products. They've brought out webcams and all kinds of stuff. They've brought out a USB headset. Now, I have been looking for a USB headset for a while. The one I had was from, I think it was a Microsoft Live Chat was the one, and I recommended it to someone here a few months back, I remember. And it's a great headset, but my wife got hold of it and it's gone. and I'll never see it again. She's using it all the time. So I said, fine, what will I use? And I thought, well, I'll have a look, but I'd like to get something new. So I bought myself one of these. I've just got it today, actually. It's just arrived. I'll unbox it while I'm sitting here. It's actually kind of nice. I mean, it's a lot smaller than the Life Chat, the ear cups. Yeah, those are tiny, actually. So it's not a kind of over-ear. It's more an on-ear type design, which is kind of cute, actually. You've still got the big headband, obviously, and you've got the microphone that comes down. So, you know, it's a proper headset. What I do like about this, though, is on the actual... I'm just going to open this up. It's got on the cable, because it is cabled, it's not wireless, you have got this little box which gives you access to various buttons. So you can control, I think it's got volume, it's got a call button, so you can answer and end a call, a mute button, and a Teams button, built for Teams. So that's kind of cool, isn't it? You can just basically hit the Teams button, you're in Teams, answer a call, mute yourself, all from this little control pad. It's actually quite well built. The cable's quite thin, actually. It's kind of surprisingly thin, considering it's a USB. Out to a USB-A. So that's your kind of standard traditional USB type. It's actually, do you know what? It's a bit more flimsy than I thought it would be. I thought it would be a bit more solid than this. But then it has got a bit of movement in it, which is kind of nice as well. So that's quite...
That one ear cup or two?
That's two.
Because okay. I would prefer flimsy. The thing I don't get on with over-the-ear ones is when you've got this feel of clamping your head.
Yeah.
So I'd want something that was super lightweight and had a bit of flex to it.
I also like the fact the microphone as well, when you bring the microphone down from the left side, I'm guessing it would be, it has a stop point. Sometimes they don't, they just carry on, which is annoying. And then when you bring it back up, it kind of just moves around a lot. But now this has got a fixed position, sort of up and down, which is kind of nice for the microphone. It's a very simple design, but in a way that's actually perfect. And it's just something, what I like about this is I could probably just chuck it in the bag and take it with me, which normally I couldn't. It would have been nice if the ear cups would fold in so I could lie them flat in the bag. But you can't have it all. Coming in at 50 quid, so yeah, 50 quid, it's not a cheap headset by any stretch. There are cheaper ones out there. Logitech do good ones. It's not a gaming style, I wouldn't say, you know, for you, Andy, if you want to play games in it. I don't think that would be any use for you because you get a lot of sound leakage in it. But good for a team meeting, good for an office, you know. So, I look forward to it. I'll let you know what the sound quality is like next week. I also want to tell you guys, I've deleted Facebook off my phone.
Yay!
Okay.
I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it. I'll tell you what happened. So Saturday morning, my mum was coming to pick me up. We were going to get some shopping. And she was coming to get me at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up at 8. And I remember going onto Facebook. And I got a call from her. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I wonder why she's calling so early. And she said, are you ready? And I said, oh, not yet. I said, I'll be ready for 10. And she said, it's 5 to 10. I mean, those 2 hours just literally went away like that. I was sitting on, I was going through Facebook posts, and then I was on Facebook Watch, which avoid like the plague, please, because it's just an absolute mine. I'm watching videos about conspiracy theories, about some guy called Ben Shapiro, who I'm watching every single video he's ever done, and I'm like, I don't even agree with half this nonsense. And then I'm getting old clips of Only Fools and Horses, and then it's just, what is this? And I just wasted... And I've been doing this, if I'm honest. I've been in this position now for a good couple of weeks. And it was getting to the stage where clearly my life was just being taken over by absolute garbage. I mean, you know, this is the point where even watching Channel 5 would be more worthwhile. And I thought, this is just where we're at, right? So I thought, I need to get rid of this. I need this out of my life. And I just deleted the app. I sent a message to friends saying, look, if you need me or you want me, I'm on the messenger. Find me another way. But... don't look for me on Facebook because I just can't do it anymore. It's my warning shot to myself. I need my time back. And do you know what I'll tell you? In the past 3 days, I've slept so much... 2 days, actually. I've slept so much better because I haven't gone to bed thinking, oh, I wonder what's on Facebook Watch, or, oh, I wonder what so-and-so said about whatever on Facebook, and then suddenly you're on and looking at stuff that's... Looking at neighbours, you know, having barbecues... Why? What's
a warning to you then. Stephen, there that you don't think, you know what, I take this free time, I'm going to try out TikTok instead. Oh. Don't.
I was thinking the same thing. Don't go on TikTok, don't go on YouTube, don't go on a number of places. That happens to me with YouTube. I'll be watching a video and then watch another video, and 2 or 3 hours go by and I've lost all my time and I don't know what's happened. So I understand.
Everything in moderation.
And the thing is that, yes, you know, I think some people might think, well, if you're blind, because I thought this for a while. I think I remember bringing this up actually on the show one time. I said, you know, do you think as blind people we don't do that as much? We don't binge on that kind of content as much. Clearly, that's not the case.
We do.
Not me. Yeah.
Not you. Do you
pictures,
not?
I don't do pictures in any shape or form.
Pictures, moving or still or any type.
Audio books, radio, podcasts. So
you did not hear him in our WhatsApp group the other day? I believe it went, pictures? Bleh. I think that was...
I know, that's true. That's true. But, not, but the problem is, that it's not that you... It's not that I'm going out to seek these videos. They just, it's that you start playing one, and then it finishes, and then another one comes along. And I have just... I think it's... I've never considered myself as someone who has an addictive personality. I've never been...
I designed that way.
I know, that's the point. So it brings it out of you.
Yeah. Expert analysis and research has gone into sucking you in. Absolutely.
And it just grabs you, and suddenly you're stuck. And you're thinking, why am I watching a video about, you know, some conspiracy theory that, you know, coronavirus was created in, you know, the downstairs house? And, you know, it's just like, come on, you know?
They are really hopefully useful nobody's, as well, though, aren't they?
No.
For keeping in touch with people. And sorry, Tim.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, hopefully nobody's thinking, why am I listening to a radio show and podcast with a bunch of blind people talking about stuff? Hopefully that's
I think most people do probably ask that as well.
How do we compare?
We compare this to Ben Shapiro. Come on. All right. Let's move on, because I don't know who Ben Shapiro is. I wish him well or not. I have no idea what he is, if he's evil or
Hi,
good.
Hi, Ben,
or,
if you're listening.
Hi, Ben. But yeah, listen, let's move on, because I do want to bring in Yvonne Brooks from the Technology for Life team. You might remember a while ago we had Devinder Kular talk about the Google Lookout app. Well, Yvonne has also been testing out Google's Lookout app on Android, and she wanted to post in her thoughts this week.
Hello. Today I'm going to be talking about the Lookout app. This is an initiative by Google. It uses the camera of a device to recognise text and objects. Initially, the app was available for only Pixel devices, and that too in just the US. But now it is compatible with all Android devices running on Android 6 and above, with at least 2 GB of RAM. And it is supported by many languages. More of that later. Lookout has 5 different modes for different usage scenarios. They can be found at the bottom of the app in order: explore mode, food label mode, text, document, and currency. And I'll now explain what each mode is meant to do and how I found using it in practice. So, explore mode. This is still in beta. This mode explores objects like table, plant, human, furniture, bags, etc. in our surroundings to help visually impaired people move around more easily. I tried this out and it was able to identify a lot of things in and around my room, such as door, table, monitor, but also computer, mouse, drink, mobile. But it also makes mistakes, as for example, I don't have a frying pan in my study, and some other things were not always identified correctly, as once it found my mobile, but the next time it said it was a bag. I also found it would also say any text it found, which when you are looking for objects is not always helpful. The next mode is food label mode, also in beta. This mode quickly identifies packaged foods by their label. There is also an additional option of scanning barcodes. This mode doesn't work on any other kind of text and is not available in all countries, but the UK is one of the countries it works in. I was caught out initially, as it really is just for food, and so didn't recognise any shampoos or other bathroom products. It was very good in the kitchen, recognising a wide range of products, and if you then swap to the text mode, you can get the instructions or other details read out. The only guidance you're given is to turn the product round, and you do need to be sure you're not in view of more than one product. Text. This is the mode which Lookout initially starts in, although subsequently it remembers the mode you were using last. Text mode quickly identifies text and reads it out aloud. It can identify the handwritten text as well if given a bit of time and when it's written neatly. As I said before, it is very useful for reading text on food products and can also be used to identify non-food products. There is no guidance and the app reads whatever it can find, and this can be a mishmash of text if more than one thing is in view. I did not find it could read my handwriting using text mode or document mode, which can be read with Seeing AI on iOS. Document. This mode takes a snapshot of a document, scans and reads it aloud on your phone. The app also helps out with the alignment guidelines to scan it properly and tells you to hold still when it thinks it has a good view. Currency. This mode helps in identifying currency notes. This doesn't work on coins though, and was originally supported only for US dollars. I've not been able to test this on UK currency because I don't have any UK notes. Lookout can cope with 22 languages. To change language, find the Change Language button at the top middle of the screen and double tap. Then drag down through the languages until you get to the one you want, and then double tap. I tried it out on a Spanish textbook and it worked well. When you read it, it says not ticked before it says the language, but you can select it when you hear the language, and it does prompt you to double tap to select. You then need to find the back button and double tap to go back to the main screen. Top right is the profile button, and it states who you are signed in as. However, if you double tap, it shows some other things which are useful to know about. Underneath the Google account details are three links: settings, help and feedback, contact us. In settings, you can turn on off the automatic flashlight to improve the image recognition. You can turn on off document scan hints. You can turn on off haptic feedback. Finally, there are two very important settings: speed, rate and pitch, which both have a slider which is moved by flicking up or down to adjust. There is a play button beneath which will show you what the new settings sound like. There is also a reset button to reset the speed and pitch to the default settings. On the main screen, above the mode buttons are two or three buttons depending on the mode. The two buttons available on all modes are the camera on-off button and the recents button. I'm not sure why you would want to turn the camera off, but maybe to stop the chatter whilst you did something. The recents mode appears to show the results of a document scanned in a list, which can be opened to reveal that scan. The final button is the camera shutter button, which is used with document read and is placed centrally between the two other buttons. So in conclusion, I would say this is definitely an app to download and have a look at, because I think it has great potential. Thank you.
Thanks, Yvonne. Yvonne clearly there moving to Spain and not telling her manager, because I was guessing no UK currency but a Spanish book. Interesting. Anyway, we'll find out the update on that one as we go. Yvonne Brooks there from the RNIB Technology for Life team. You can contact the team, of course, with any of your queries through working hours Monday to Friday on 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999, or you can email the team directly, TFL, short for Technology for Life, tfl@rnib.org.uk. Yeah, it's an interesting app for sure, and yeah, but look forward to hearing more people's thoughts on it. I know we've had comments already from people who've been getting in touch with that one. So yeah, share your views. Let's talk about getting back to the office safely, because that's the big thing at the moment, isn't it? People are going back to the office. I don't know, are you going back to the office, Robin? With the ability to HQ? No, never again, right, okay. Do they know, or is that an organisation decision?
So I've been working from home for 5 or 6 years now. Lots of travelling with client calls, client meetings and presentations and things.
Is someone sitting in your office looking at your table, I wonder if he's ever going to come in. Is this guy ever here?
So our office, when I was last in it, was IBM, and that's closed, the whole building. So we've moved to a much smaller office. We've only got 10 seats in the Warwick office now, 10 desks. So not everyone could be in there, even if they wanted to. But yeah, it's totally up to us. We don't ever have to go back into the office if we don't want to. And I think that's good. I think it's a recognition that, you know, some people like it. Some people don't need the social side of things. And let's reduce our costs and also carbon footprint. I was tasked at AbilityNet to work out our carbon footprint. Really interesting exercise. And, you know, having an office isn't actually always a saver. You might think, well, loads of people under one roof and, you know, everyone's heating their own homes and stuff. But there are so many other factors. So it isn't necessarily the greener thing to do to bring everyone back in the office. So, yeah, I'm perfectly happy. Thank you very much.
Isn't the answer to everything 42? Is that not the answer?
It is. 42. It is. Nice. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Yep. So a little Hitchhiker's Guide reference there for you.
Well done. A book from Stephen. I'm impressed.
Oh, no, I watched the film.
There it is. Yeah, the movie. On. I got you.
Come on, I didn't read the book.
The worst film in the world.
I know, it was terrible. I thought, is this great story that everybody talks about? Because this is awful.
You need to read the book. Just saying.
I know. Sorry,
yeah, Tim. I'm told by my family and friends that I moved on from the age of 42 earlier this year, and I don't believe them. I want to be 42 forever. Just to
you
read
can
the
be.
Answer.
You can be that.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it right there. I'm 42 forever.
But look, for those who are going back to the office, just to pull this back a bit, for those who are going back to the office, and you make a good point, Robin. You know, it should be a choice for some people, I think. Especially when it comes to people who've got disabilities, and I've said this quite a lot recently, remote work has to be part of the new normal. It just has to be. The idea that people... I really get annoyed when I see this in the news, people saying, people will be returning to work, getting back into the office, getting back to doing some work. And it's like, really, what have I been doing? Nothing the past year and a bit? I mean, come on. You know, probably working harder at home than I've been working in the office. No, I didn't say that out loud, did I? But, that's the reality of it. You know, a lot of people have been working very hard, and a lot of people prefer working at home. You know, for myself, it is so much easier having a studio that's set up the way I want it to be set up. I know when I put my hand over here, that thing is there. I know when I put my hand over here, that's where the cup is, so I don't do that. It's in a studio where you have lots of people working and a lot of blind people working together, different things get pressed, things get pushed, things get moved around. It's very difficult to do the job and can actually add a lot of stress. So, that's part of it. And of course, there are other accommodations other disabled people would benefit from and need at home that they might not be able to get access to in the workplace. But we've got to stop talking about being at work as this sort of the only answer to everything. The past year should have taught us that. We should really understand that remote work is work as well, and that's something that's important. So, yeah, we definitely need the choice, I think. But when we do go back to the office, some of us need the office to get out of the house, to get away from the kids, to get away from Mr. or Mrs. or both. We have to, get back into the, seeing other people. And I get that. We've got to do it safely. That's the key. And that's what we're talking about today. How do you get back in safely? And could tech help? Well, here's Oscar Edmondson to explain.
In the effort to combat the spread of COVID-19, UVC lighting has been proven to be more than 99% effective against the virus after just 10 minutes. The technology currently serves as part of the CDC's recommendation for preventing the spread of COVID in the workplace. So, with workers expected to return to offices in the coming weeks, what does this mean for the world of work? With us to talk more about the capabilities of UVC light in combating COVID and other harmful diseases is Stephen Ruat, CEO of lighting specialist Signify.
UV, or ultraviolet lighting, is part of the light spectrum. You have UVA, UVB, and UVC emissions, which are all emitted by the sun, but also by artificial sources like light bulbs. So UVC emissions from a light bulb at a certain wavelength are particularly strong and break down the DNA and RNA of things like bacteria, viruses, and molds, basically rendering them harmless. And so you can use UVC lighting, so to speak, in a physical surface, in the air, or even in water. And importantly, it's been shown to work in bacteria and viral infections like things like COVID-19, influenza, Ebola, E. coli, tuberculosis, And even things like MRSA, you know, those super bugs we talk about in hospitals.
How would you say UVC light could be used to make a workplace safer?
UVC can be installed in an office, in a workplace, in a few different ways. For the air, there's what we call upper air devices that can be installed on ceilings, high up in walls, or even embedded in the air conditioning unit that basically help clean and disinfect the air. There's also smaller closed units that they look like movable air conditioners on wheels. They're smaller, quite portable ones, and they're always on, and they basically can be used to clean out the air in a room within a certain number of minutes to basically inactivate any sort of pathogen that's in the room. And then there's obviously physical. So you have both different UVC lighting that can be used to disinfect physical surfaces, as well as physical disinfection boxes. Looks like a small or large microwave. There's even ones that are as big as a fridge that you put stuff in to disinfect. And if you think of the office space, it can be shareable items like keyboards. So, hey, today I use this keyboard, tomorrow I use a different one. Mobile phones, security passes, badges. If you happen to be working in a museum, audio guides, lots of different shared personal equipment. So both the air and the physical surfaces you can use to disinfect using UVC.
Where can UVC lights be used?
Importantly, we've seen it being installed in a really vast array of different environments. So we've put in UVC solutions in gyms, sports facilities, the changing rooms of famous football teams, retail outlets, office buildings, obviously. But even, as I said, it solves a broad array of bacterial and viral problems, even in an equestrian center, to actually combat viruses that are seriously affecting horses across Europe. So it can be used for really a broad range.
Where can listeners go for more information on UVC?
Signify, Philips Lighting, you can go to our website, other major companies like us. The UK Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, SAGE, actually has a pretty good paper on UVC. The Center for Disease Control has a pretty good one too. There's a fair number of government and health organization websites that do have good information on it. So do look for reputable sources or some of the major companies as well.
So as you head back to the office, perhaps your workplace might benefit from UVC technology to help keep you safe from COVID.
Oscar Edmondson there on the tech that can get us back to work safely. Very interesting. Right, let's get into some emails, shall we? I think we need to open the mailbox.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Bing bong.
Here's your mail today.
Right, let's talk about emails then. Right, Andy, what have you got?
Let's start off with a couple based on the TFL feature that we did a couple of weeks ago, the Just Press Record. So here's a couple of emails from that. Hi, Tim, Andy, Robin and Stephen.
Hey.
Thanks for a great podcast. I am a long-time listener. The iOS recording app Just Press Record was recommended last week, but at the time it was not known how to rename your files from within the app. To rename a file, you can either do a double tap and hold or a triple tap on the file and a menu will pop up with rename as one of the choices. Just thought I'd pass this along. Keep up the great work. That's from Chris.
Love that.
About time too. Tim got introduced first this week and he got a shout out first on an email. So yeah, long overdue.
Oh,
yeah, equal rights.
Equal rights for all tech talk people, I see. Okay, let's get another email.
Renaming a recording. Here's another longer example here. Hi there, team. Just a comment regarding the demo of Just Press Record that was featured on the most recent podcast. The TFL representative said that during the demo, he wasn't sure there was a way to rename recordings. Well, actually, there is. I do it all the time, which is extremely useful. One, on the file to rename, perform a one-finger double tap and hold, and this brings up the screen with options to share, and also a rename button. Two, double tap on rename, swipe right to the edit field, double tap to bring up the keyboard, ensure the insertion point is at the start, and then rename your recording as you wish. And then three, once you've typed your name, double tap on the done button at the bottom right to take you back to your list of recordings. I hope this helps. It's ideal if you need to keep recordings long-term. All the best. Keep up with the fantastic shows. That's from Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel. Yeah, I mean, I must admit, the problem sometimes with these recordings is, and I am really guilty of this, I make my recordings and then forget about renaming them. And of course, then you end up going through all these dates and you're thinking, well, what was I doing on that day? I'd be useless if I'd, you know, been accused of a crime and the policeman comes in and says, where were you on the 29th? I'd be like, I've got no idea. probably guilty of whatever it is, because I've got no idea where I was. Anyway, that's...
Isn't the information in the audio file that you recorded?
Well, yeah, okay.
Or a clue, at least.
That's true, yeah. There's at least a clue there. There's probably more chance I'd find out the information about the audio file than where I was on the 29th of July. Which is impressive, because that's in the future.
Well done.
It is, last year. Thanks.
So you're planning to commit a crime on the 29th of July, is that what you're trying
to say?
Not that I know. Chocolate are you going to steal or something? I don't know.
That's the one thing about not being in the office I do miss. Having chocolate. A bit of a raid.
Stealing people's chocolate?
Having a bit of a raid at the fridge. Right. You know, see, you know. And the thing is, I think the unintended theft from a fridge was great, because I used to come through. I remember once, one of the guys who worked with us, I came, one day I found out that I'd eaten his sandwich. And I thought at the time, this doesn't taste like a chicken sandwich, but we'll just go with it.
Oh, I remember that.
And if you don't know what you're eating, because you can't see, often you can't tell what you're eating.
Yeah, but also, don't you just love sometimes that you have something to eat and you think it's one thing, and your mouth just goes, wow, when you get this, you know, totally different experience. It's like, I thought this was a ham sandwich and suddenly I'm eating egg. You know, that was unexpected. So
that happens to me when I don't realize that our refrigerator, we've run out of one type of soft drink and I'm into a different type.
Yes.
So, you know, Coca-Cola to something else. And I take that first sip and go, oh, that's the worst tasting, you know, fill in the blank I've ever had. And my wife will go,
vodka.
That's because that's not what it is.
Yeah. And when you know what it is, it tastes fine.
And then, oh, well, for that, it tastes great. But for what I thought it was, it tastes disgusting.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. It's just like, you might love it, but in that moment, yeah, exactly. Anyway, how did we get to that? Let's get to, from Just Press Record to theft and drinking alien foods, or eating alien food. Okay. It's fun
so
being
the thing
blind,
that you miss
it?
About work is not being able to steal food. Okay, got you.
It's right. Not stealing. Moving it's on. Just not... knowing what I'm eating.
You would usually tell me to steal the food for you, Steve.
That's true.
Go in the fridge and see what's there and bring it to me.
I highly recommend a support worker. It's a brilliant thing. put all the blame on them. Right, what else have we got in the inbox?
Hi, gang, says William Richards. Nice to have you back, Stephen.
Oh.
But.
Oh.
But. Uh-oh. But could Andy, Robin, Tim, or even Sean not have covered for you while you were off being poorly?
No, because I'm so important.
He's got size 13s. We couldn't fill his shoes.
No.
No. To be honest, we had...
We talked about
it. We did talk about this.
I've done it before, but...
Exactly, yeah. But no, the radio station took the decision to take the show off and wait till I came back, and fine. I really was kind of out of it, to be honest. I had no real... no real involvement in it, to be honest. The decision was out of my hands, but we decided it was best probably to let the show take a bit of a break. That was the first time in almost 10 years. The show is actually 10 years old next year, and it's amazing. I think we're the longest running tech radio show, possibly one of the or certainly assistive tech radio shows. They're all following us now, aren't they? They're all following us now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just keep following us.
Continuing on that, continuing on William's email, he says, does this mean that Stephen is off caffeine?
Well, sort of. So you might remember I talked about my mushroom coffee, right? Well, I do love my mushroom coffee, but the problem is that the Tassimo machine's just there. It's just like over there. So
what, the new one? Did you buy a new one?
No, just the same one. I still need to clean it. But yeah, I got, you know, it's just there. I have to go downstairs and make a mushroom coffee. I have to go and get a kettle and fill it up with water, turn it on, wait for it to boil. You just get time. So no, I just put in the Tassimo.
Because you have no extra time.
I've got no patience. I've got no
You have no patience.
This is a guy, I sit and watch 2 hours of garbage on Facebook, but I haven't got the patience.
The irony is that getting up and going downstairs and having to do that and come back up would actually be good for you too.
Exactly. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know
Which
all
is
this.
Why he doesn't do it.
Why he doesn't do it.
Mm.
I mean, that's the thing. I know all the right things. I just don't do them.
Yeah.
It's shocking. Yeah. This is feeling like a therapy session. I don't like it.
I was just thinking about all the things that
Bring your wife into this conversation. Say about this.
No. My wife doesn't listen to this show. My wife never listens, and I'm so pleased about that.
Thankfully.
Next time, we're all off or whatever, for whatever reason, we can't do it. We should just get all of our wives to, or partners or better halves to, because that happens on another tech show that I won't mention. And that's the most popular show of the year.
They do it is.
It is.
It's not a bad idea, actually. That's not a bad idea. Could be quite interesting.
Pretty interesting, yeah.
Okay.
William, we will get to the rest of your email here, William.
Sorry. Yeah, go for it. Sorry, Andy. Yes, please.
He says, he continues, I was tempted to run this email through text-to-speech and have me drinking a can of Pepsi Max in the background. Oh, well, maybe next time. I was underwhelmed by the coverage of WWDC originally, but hearing your assessment, there are some things that stand out to me. SharePlay seems interesting to me, or at least it would if Zoom did it. My problem with Apple doing it is not everyone I know uses an iPhone, but it does remind me of the Netflix Party app. The reason I'm excited that this is because I can be sure that we've all seen a particular show. If, let's say, I'm doing a podcast with Andy about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, then I know that we would have both seen that week's episode. Not being a FaceTime user means that nothing announced there was all that interesting to me. But I was fascinated that it can now blur out your background, which, in my opinion, is a security thing. If you've got a picture of your wife or your children standing next to your car with the registration plate clearly visible, and the background isn't blurred, then someone can, on your call, can potentially identify you or anyone else in the picture where you live, and they can access all that from the DVLA hold on your car. Live text is an interesting feature if it works, and the OCR stuff is nice. My problem with sharing the mouse and keyboard between Mac and iPad is that the Apple keyboard and mouse really annoy me. Part of the reason why we didn't see that many voiceover improvements is because there wasn't much left to do with it. That's an email from William Richards.
Ah, oh, thank you, William. I must admit, I didn't think about that with the blurring, with the portrait mode, blur mode, whatever you call it, on the iPhone and on FaceTime calls, because you know, I can't see what's in the background, so I've got no idea what you would see. So yeah, that's a good point. Of course, I kind of forget that sometimes. You kind of forget as a visually impaired person that other people can see.
Judith's fallen in love with bokeh, that portrait mode.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
The iPhone, she absolutely loves that effect. That's where it blurs the background with a kind of a starry effect. Oh. Sounds a bit cheesy, but... and the person in the foreground is nice and crisp. But yeah, that is a security thing. There's so much personal information in the background.
Yeah.
So yeah, good idea.
And biscuit wrappers, in my case. Is that just me? Anyway, shall we move on? Because we have Mel Maidman joining us now from Suffolk Sites, who's here to tell us all about the organisation and the support that they offer to local people there to help them get to grips with technology. Mel?
We have a highly qualified tech team, which is made up of Claire Berman and myself. So between us, we are both certified in Supernova, Guide Connect, JAWS, Zoom Text, and VoiceOver. And we can provide training on all of these assistive technologies. People are referred to us through our community workers, and then we will take on each referral depending on its location to where we live. So Claire covers the east of Suffolk, and I cover the west of Suffolk. And it's such a broad variety of tech requests what come through. So it can range from the accessibility features on an iPad or an iPhone or on an Android device, helping people to enlarge font, reduce transparency settings on it, text-to-speech, all sorts of areas in which we would be able to provide that support. We also, like I said, provide voiceover training, screen reader training as well in JAWS, NVDA and Narrator. So, yes, a great variety of tech support which we provide for our members.
Are there any specific things? I mean, you mentioned a lot there, but, you know, are there any specific questions that come up time and time again that people get in touch and ask you around technology?
Primarily, people struggle with using phones, and more people are embracing smartphone technology. So it is being able to start moving from a touch button phone to a touch screen phone. So hence, that's where the voiceover training and talkback training comes into play. We're also help people with synaptic devices as well. So yeah, it's primarily phones, and we're able to either do one-to-one tuition with our members now that things have opened up with COVID. Previously, we had to do it remotely over the phone, given step-by-step instructions of how to use VoiceOver or TalkBack with various gestures. Or we would give them step-by-step instructions of how to enlarge for text on their device, turn on speech screen, or change for colours on their devices. And that also includes as well laptops and Mac computers as well, Windows and Mac computers. We provide support and advice and training on how to use the accessibility features and those types of computers as well.
How difficult is it to deliver that kind of tech support when you're not hands-on with the person in that environment? You know, they're having a problem with their computer, you're relying on them giving you information over a phone, I guess. How difficult is that to handle, and how have you got over that during this pandemic?
It has been very challenging during the pandemic, when we weren't able to visit people, because obviously we did have to do it remotely. We did have to give that verbal instruction over the phone of what to do. We are looking at remote access for Windows Quick Assist, and it's something which we are considering and looking into, which would be really beneficial. But now we can visit people in their homes. I know that Claire has a support worker. Myself, I have a support worker. So we can enter people's homes, sit with our members, really focusing on their needs, and then explain to them what it is we're going to do on their computer, on their tablet, give them step-by-step instructions, and then using, because I'm registered blind myself and Claire is as well, so we will turn on narrator on their machine or VoiceOver on their Mac, and they'll be able to hear all the changes we're making on their computer, accessibility changes. That sort of keeps them up to date of what's going on, basically. And we can then provide that support for them. And it's good to remember also that the tech team at Suffolk Site work along with other suppliers of specialist equipment. So we're proud at the moment to be able to demonstrate the RealSam in your pocket device, the new Hark Ritz text-to-speech reader as well from Humanware, and take that to the homes of our members who may well benefit from such specialist devices because they're simple to use, rather than sort of using an iOS device or an Android device. So it's a great joy to be able to share those products with people. And we've had some amazing success stories as well. Claire and I are both visually impaired. So it really inspires our members to be able to embrace technology, that it is possible, despite having a disability, they can be enabled by tech with the use of technology. We work along with the RNIB's TFL team. We've received referrals from the TFL team in our area because parts of Suffolk are quite remote. So we've been able to, one particular client who was referred over to us from the TFL team wanted voiceover training on her iPhone. We're able to provide that for her, and she's absolutely loving it now. And she's advanced so much that she's now using WhatsApp, taking photos through WhatsApp and sending her pictures to family and friends. We've also been able to connect our members to their loved ones around the world during COVID when people felt very isolated by giving that step-by-step instruction of how to use FaceTime and Skype and other video mediums to be able to keep in contact with loved ones. And it's really rewarding. I've received before COVID and social distancing, like people have embraced me saying, thank you so much. And I'm sure Claire's experienced that as well. Thank you so much for helping me. It's got me back on track and I feel like I've got my life back again, having that independence.
Mel Maidment there talking to us from Suffolk Site, and you can find out more by searching online for Suffolk Site. The organisation can help with a number of different things. And a full interview with Debbie and Mel from Suffolk Site is available on RNIB's RNIB Connect podcast that you can listen to, and also catch that interview on the Daily Connect with Alan Russell. So yeah, we are almost at the end of the show, but just I wanted to bring up one other thing, guys, that I spotted this week, and it kind of just came out of the blue. There's a company called Elgato, E-L-G-A-T-O, and they've announced
the
a
cat.
Whole... Right, okay, I'll believe you. And they... is that a cat? I've never heard of that.
Spanish was a cat, yes.
Okay, so is that in a book, by any chance?
It's in a language called Spanish.
Okay, lost you.
Sorry, carry on.
Get everyone Brooks back on here. She's a representative in Spain. But yeah, Elgato, they, aside being cats or whatever, they also make equipment for content creators. And it's quite an interesting bunch of stuff they've got. A lot of the hardware relies on software that's, you know, not the most accessible in the world. But some of the equipment doesn't necessarily need the software. So, for example, they've just launched a whole wide range of new mic arms. So if you've got, you know, you want to use a microphone at your computer, you can now get a mic arm which can go over the top of a monitor, which is kind of handy if you need to get close to the monitor, but you have trouble buying those mic arms that don't do that. You can even get a low profile one as well, which goes under the monitor, which is kind of cool. They sell wall mounts, but they also sell microphones as well, so USB mics and stuff. They do lights for creators, so if you want to make your own videos, you can buy lights that you can control via your voice. They do light strips. You might see a lot of people have these now, these light strips around the home, and especially around content creator studios, to just light up the background really in a nice way. So I just mentioned it because a whole pile of new products have come out, including Facecam, which is their first webcam. It's a great name, isn't it? Facecam. I like that. Is that a name of a cat as well, Robin? I have no idea.
It might be.
Yeah.
Somebody might have called their cat
Welsh.
Facecam.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's, I just wanted to bring it up because I thought it was quite an interesting little story. But yeah, some interesting gadgets doing the rounds at the moment. And yeah, we'll of course always look forward to your emails on all the topics we discuss here on Tech Talk. If you want to keep in touch with us, you can do by following RNIB Connect Radio on Twitter at RNIB Radio. You can also follow me at Blind Guy Talks. Is that my thing now? No, it's not. It's Blind Guy Tech, I beg your pardon. At Blind Guy Tech. And you can get Tim. What's your handle on Twitter?
On Twitter, look for at Labcast, LabCast. And I would just like to take this moment to say happy birthday to my now 9-year-old daughter, Alyssa.
Oh, happy birthday to Alyssa. Do you know there was a 21st birthday party behind our house the other day on Saturday night, and they got like singers in and a DJ. And at first, you know that way it's like at first at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was pleasant, it was a nice day, everyone was enjoying it. By 6 o'clock, I wanted the police. I was just, I've had enough, I want rid of this, this is just so noisy.
By 1 a.m. Yeah.
I was around there, yeah. That's right, saying enough is enough. But
did
no,
you
happy birthday.
To your
happy birthday.
Noise cancelling headphones.
I had to in the end, yes, yeah. Absolutely. No, happy birthday to Alyssa at nine years old. Oh, what was I doing when I was nine? I've got no idea.
That's a whole nother show, I think.
Yeah, that is probably that's a podcast in itself. What was I doing when I was nine? Yeah. Gosh, you got me thinking now. Anyway, Robin, where can we find you on Twitter?
At USA 2, number 2, day.
Terrible.
USA Today.
And Andy?
You can find me on Twitter, ADWINN. ADWIN.
Brilliant. Me. Guys, thanks again. We'll catch you again for another week of Tech Talk next time.